You're so good and kind to us, Lord. And we love you so very much and pray this in your name. Amen. All right, Alex, you good back there? Thumbs up. Fantastic. Hey, I want to ask you a question. How many times a day do you think you greet people? With a hello or a goodbye. How many times do they put a number on it? 10? Wow, that's fantastic. Once? If you don't go anywhere? Okay. Okay. So if you don't go anywhere, then you really have, okay, you got to make it good, right? That good greeting. So as people, we typically have hellos, goodbyes, and greetings like this. And so as we're moving into Philippians 4 today, it's actually the last verses of our entire book of Philippians we're going through today. We're looking at how Christians must view hello and goodbye. And I was profoundly struck by this week as I looked at the scriptures when we look at how we greet people. So let me ask you this statement, see if you agree with this or not. How we greet others initially or in our greetings of goodbye depends on multiple factors, true or not? It does depend on that, okay? Let's think about these questions. How you greet people depends on how well you know that person, right? Okay, how about your relationship with that person? If they're a spouse, are you going to greet them differently than say, Kirby? Yeah, okay. If you're a family member, if they're your child, if they're your boss, maybe a friend, maybe an acquaintance, you're going to greet all those people differently. Now, what are the commonalities you have with that person? So, for example, if you have someone that is in a 4-H club with you or someone who's served in a military unit with you, would you greet those two people differently? Likely so, okay, because you've been in different commonalities and communities to each other. How does gender play a role in hellos and goodbye? For me personally, I don't like to greet a woman straight on with a hug. I just don't think that's appropriate for me to do, so I'll hug her from the side and let her know that I care about her, okay? So we greet people differently depending on all these factors. So one thing that comes up in my mind is that in our culture, what do we typically do? When we greet, yes, we shake hands when we say hello and also when, typically when we leave each other, okay? So I've asked Norman to help me today, so I'm going to go down next to Norman. So you're going to see on the screen, okay, a bunch of types of handshakes up there, okay? And so I'm down here with Norman, and Norman does a great job of telling young men in our church how to shake hands, okay? And if you've never done this before, you need to go up to Norman and shake his hand because it's really important, okay? So I'm going to give you some examples of shaking hands that doesn't quite work, and let's see if you can pick them out up there as I do this. I'm going to be a little animated, okay? So if I go to shake Norman's hand, and I keep doing this, and so what am I doing? What's it called up there? The lingering hold. Any idea how you get rid of the lingering hold? You go, hey, thanks, Norman, and just cut it off, okay? Now, what about this kind of handshake right here? Hey, Norman, glad to see you.
Flyby.
That's the flyby. I missed it completely, okay? Let's see if I can get you out of hand. Now, what if I went to go do this with Norman's hand? Hey, Norman. What would Norman say about that?
I think something's wrong with you.
Okay, that's right. All right, so let's talk about this one. What about, what about this type of whole handshake right here? Okay, ready?
That's an old lady's hand.
An old lady's handshake, okay. That's the lobster. That's the lobster. We actually kind of just barely touch your hand, okay? Now, here's a handshake you may figure out pretty quick, okay? So I get Norman's hand here, and I go like, hey, Norman, hey, I want your vote in November. What kind of handshake is that?
You're not getting it.
Okay, and now finally, if you approach Norman like this, hey, Norman, great to see you. What would Norman do?
Back up.
Yeah, back up, yeah. That's called the hug gone wrong, okay? So I didn't get to all of them, but you can tell what I'm saying. I wasn't going to do the sweaty palm, Norman, but I didn't want to make you nervous. But really, folks, when we shake hands in our culture, we come up to somebody, and we just shake their hand, and we say, hey, glad to see you today. So good to see you. And a good shake, look them in the eye, and that's how you greet people. That's how we've done that in our culture for a long time. Now, does everybody have an American culture? No, not everybody has a Midwestern culture. And so one thing I appreciate about Norman, if you have a young man in your life or even a young girl, but specifically young men, he'll teach our young men in our church how to shake hands. And that's important. And I'm going to tell you why it's important, because something you need to know about our culture, and as far as a Christian goes, we need to learn how to greet people. Because I want to share with you something. There's a singular factor that must influence all my greetings, and it's my relationship with Jesus Christ. As you greet people, they have to come away with an impression that you're different than somebody else that they've just met down the road. It has to be that way. It must be that way. Okay? Now notice, we're going to go to the Bible here together. We're going to go to Philippians 4. As I go to Philippians 4, I want to share with you the last few verses of Philippians 4, verse 21 in particular. Paul says in Philippians 4:21, he says, greet all God's people in who? In Christ Jesus, the brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. And so our heading for that, if you're following along in your sermon outline, is greet one another in Christ Jesus. Greet one another in Christ Jesus. There's a Tibetan greeting. You can look up greetings on the internet. There's a Tibetan greeting, and there's a certain group of monks in Tibet, and when they come to greet you, this is what they'll do. I know a little girl in our church that does that. Anybody know her? She's right there. They greet you like this. And the reason they do this in Tibet is because they greet you that way because the Tibetan monk is wanting to show you he does not have a black tongue. So what does that mean? Well, what it means is apparently back in the, I think, 9th century, there was a king in Tibet and he had a black tongue. And he was a cruel, tyrant, mean king. And the Tibetan monk would stick out his tongue when greeting you to show you he was a manifestation of that evil, cruel king. So it was a way of giving you a bit of ease about greeting this monk. Now, I would recommend not sticking your tongue out at people in our culture. Just saying. But there's one thing that makes it different for you and I. What makes your greeting different from all other people on the planet? Listen. It's who? It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ, okay? So literally what we're saying is that when you and I greet people, look at what he says in verse 21. Greet all who? What kind of people? All who? Saints, yes, or God's people. Now what that means is that as a Christian, when you come to this place, you're assuming someone here is a believer in Christ and a follower of Christ. That means you are greeting them in Christ Jesus. You're greeting how many of them? All of them, okay? And a saint literally means someone who is set apart for Christ. That's what a saint means, set apart for Christ. So this is what you do when you go through life. All of your decisions, all of your actions in life are based on a person who is set apart for Christ, and that is who you are, okay? Are you sure, Jeff? I am sure. Look at this Bible verse in Romans 6, verse 4. Let's read this together. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And so remember, Paul is telling us to greet people in Christ Jesus. When did I become in Christ Jesus? At my immersion into Christ, okay? So that means when I greet other people, specifically Christians, I am greeting them as in Christ. This is a very good point. Listen to this. Are you greeting? Are you greeting your fellow Christians as a person being yourself or as a person being in Christ? You see the difference? There's often times I know for me personally where I'm like, I don't want to say hi to him. I don't feel very good about myself today. Where's my thinking? Not in the best place. I am a person where? In Christ. That means I can greet people with confidence in Christ. Okay? So let's add some more to this concept of greeting people in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul brings this up. And when I read the underline, you read it at the same time, okay? So we're going to go through this together, and when the underline comes up, you read it then. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all. Therefore all died, and he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. I look at this topic here, and Paul is telling me, what controls the greetings of a Christian? The love of Christ. How much does the love of Christ control in our lives? All of it. Okay? So this tells me something, that as I greet my fellow Christians, it's really important, When we say hello and goodbye, we say it as one controlled by the love of Christ, acknowledging that Christ died for me and also died for them. So when I come to church and I see Phil and Laura, I don't just see Phil and Laura, I see people that what? Christ died for them. And I need to greet them accordingly. So the question is, here, how are you treating others that way? When you greet people, how are you doing that? Are you treating them like that? The other thing that's pretty important to consider is that when you come to church, I'm going to go back here to this verse. When you come to church and greet people, you're not judging them on their what? Their flesh. You're no longer recognizing them according to their flesh. You're not judging them on past sins. You're not judging them on what they're dressed as. You're not judging them based on anything other than one simple fact that Christ what? Died for them. That's how you look at people when you greet them. If you're choosing not to greet a fellow brother or sister in Christ because you don't like what they're wearing, who has the problem? Okay? Or some other issue. All right? So, excuse me. So as we consider our next thought here, how would it change? How would it change your hello and goodbye if you saw other Christians as a fellow person in Christ instead of just another person? I mean, seriously, think about that. When you see somebody, you don't see the person, you see Jesus who died for the person. That's how we greet people. Number two, greet others in Christ even when they are very different from you. Even when they are very different from you. I want to read to you out of Philippians again. Look in verse 22 of chapter 4. Paul says this, the church in Philippi, all God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to, what's that say? Caesar's household. A dear friend of mine named Chad Puckett a number of years ago was going on a mission trip to Russia. And I don't know how long it takes to Russia. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but it seems like he was going to a rural area and he was going to go spend some time with some church folks there in Russia. And I think it took 36 hours to get there from starting in America in mid-Missouri, clear into wherever Russia is, how many thousands of miles away that is. The Russian people, knowing that they were going to start the journey in Missouri at this particular time, the Russian people began to fast for their journey as they got there, as they were going there. Chad said this, that he flew and then drove and drove and drove and finally got to where they're supposed to be having their mission trip here in Russia. He says what happened was when he got out of the car, got off the plane, I can't remember what he said exactly, but I do remember this part, that he was greeted by a great big Russian man, full bushy beard, kissed him on both sides of the cheeks three times and then put one big one right in the middle. He says, if you've ever been kissed by a big Russian burly man who's been fasting for 36 hours, can you imagine the breath on that guy? He says it was terrifying. And so I thought we'd practice that on each other day in church today. Is that okay? Kirby, can you and I start first? The holy kiss. I thought the cane would come out and he'd get me. But look, I think it's wise to consider that all of us in different cultures greet differently. But what do I know about my friend Chad? He is a believer in Christ. What do I know about the Russian man? He's a believer in Christ. I don't know how they came to know Jesus. It doesn't matter. But they are a world apart from one another. And they both what? They both know Jesus Christ, and they greet each other that way. Even though they're different in skin color, cultural dress, and whatever, even how they greet. Now, what does this have to do with our sermon today? Look again at the verse. Verse 22. Paul says, Caesar's household especially greets you. Some translation says, those from the Praetorian Guard greet you. Okay? So what does this mean? It means this. That in Paul's time, when someone said they're part of Caesar's household, they're part of the Roman government. Okay? They might not have known Caesar, but they're part of the Roman government. It'd be like someone today saying, I work for the Trump administration. I don't know Trump, but I work for him. It's the same concept. We are part of the administration. Okay? So if we investigate further, we say, what is Paul getting at here? What's he talking about? Well, remember what part where Paul is. So let's go back with me in time to Philippians 1. Go back to Philippians 1, starting in verse 12. Okay? Starting in verse 12 through 14. Paul says this, now I want you to know. He's writing the church back in Philippi because he's in Rome. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, this is Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it is became clear throughout the whole palace guard, the whole Praetorian guard, and to everyone else, I'm in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. What is Paul saying? Look, this is a picture, someone's artist's interpretation of what Paul was doing under house arrest. This is someone copying down Paul's letter to the Philippian church. This is the Apostle Paul. What do you see right here? A chain. And who's he chained to? He's chained to a palace guard, a praetorian guard, or someone who's under Caesar's household. Guess who Paul said who was especially greeting the church in Philippians 4? People of Caesar's household. How did Paul come in contact with Caesar's household? He's chained to him. He's absolutely chained to him. And so this tells me something very interesting, okay? How do you think Paul greeted those people? I think Paul greeted them in Christ. Now, this is also something just as interesting. Paul wrote the letter to Philippi at around 62 AD. Now, if you know your history, you'll know who is in charge of Rome at this time. He plays the fiddle and hasn't quite got there yet. His name is Nero. And in just a matter of time, Nero is going to become a cruel, tyrannical person who kills Christians for the pleasure of it. He's the kind of guy who would light Christians on a cross and burn them in his garden as a light. Terrible man. But the mere fact that the Apostle Paul says that people from Caesar's household are especially greeting you tells me something about the Apostle Paul. What is that guy doing? It means that no matter if you're a soldier, a servant, or administrator working for Caesar's household, Paul was treating them as a person who knows who? Christ. And because Paul treated him that way, okay? Because Paul treated him that way, we now understand, this is very important, we now understand that people were becoming Christians. People were becoming Christians. That's pretty powerful to consider. So, here's a thought. How do you do that? Listen to this. How do you do that? How do you greet people? How do you greet people in Christ Jesus? It's in your bulletin insert. It's on the screen too. People in Christ greet others in what? In hope. People in Christ greet others in hope. Look in verse 12, Philippians 1. Paul says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. What's the gospel? What's the gospel? It's good news. Gospel literally means good news. What's the good news? That Christ died for our sins. Think about this. Paul greets others in hope of advancing the gospel. Do you? Do you? Do you greet people with a thought of advancing the gospel? Here's a thought. In your hello and goodbye, how do you come across? Hoping to advance the good news of forgiveness of sin or something else? The second thing I see in the Apostle Paul is how he greets people is this. People in Christ greet others with a goal to influence how many people? Everyone. Okay? So if I look in verse 13, Paul says in verse 13 in chapter 1, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else. How much the palace guard? Throughout the whole thing. And then he also says in verse 13, and to how many else? Everyone. Look, you got to understand this, people. When you're a Christian, you're in it to influence other people. Now, it doesn't mean that as a Christian, you're not going to get someone in the baptistry in the church that Sunday. It doesn't mean that. It just simply means this, that in your hello and goodbye, what would it take for you to consider as a goal to influence everyone you meet for Christ? When you meet them, you're just trying to somehow interject the name of Jesus in there somehow. You're trying to influence. Another thing I see in the Apostle Paul is that he greeted people in Christ with the hope to influence and inspire. Influence and inspire. Look in verse 14. Paul says, and because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to to proclaim the gospel without fear. Look, when Paul was engaging Caesar's household, soldiers, servants, administrators, guess who's watching him? Other Christians. Look, that's what he says in verse 14. He says, they've watched me interact with these people and they've become what? Confident, inspired. People are watching you. Christians are watching you. You have Christians around you who are watching you engage other Christians and other non-Christians. And as they see you do that, they become inspired by you and how you greet people. So think about this concept. How is God coming to you? How is God coming to you right now to make hope-filled your hello and goodbye to influence and encourage all people? Not just unbelievers, but all people. Number three, our point today is this. We greet because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody know this famous woman right here? Kate Middleton, yeah. Most girls know that. This is Kate Middleton, and this is a picture of her taken when she was traveling on a trip to New Zealand. And she's actually doing something that we wouldn't say is very common to us, but here in New Zealand, it's very common to greet this way. It came from the Maori people, M-A-R-O-R-I, Maori people. And the Maori people had this greeting called the hungai. And the hungai looks something like this, in which you pressed your forehead and your nose to the person that you're greeting, and it looks just like this. And men and women do it alike. It's necessarily a gender thing, but men and women do it alike. And so what it means is that as those people connect with each other, they're pressing their forehead together and the nose together, they are sharing in the same breath. That's the thought that they have. They're sharing in the same breath. So it's a very close, personal greeting that's really kind of sacred to that culture. Now you say, that sounds kind of hokey. Well, it may be. Let me look at Philippians 4 again. Philippians 4, verse 23. Paul says this, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be where? With your spirit. Amen. And so breath oftentimes is referred to as spirit in the scriptures, but there's something here that I don't want us to miss. There's actually something very similar happened to this in the New Testament. Anybody know where it is? We're going to go there together, but it's in John 20. John 20. So if you got your Bibles, take a left from Philippians several times and go to John 20. Now here's a scenario. Jesus has died. I'm going to use this word. Not many people use it very often. Jesus was murdered on the cross. He was murdered on the cross. A guiltless man hung as a guilty man on the cross. The disciples saw him brutally murdered in public, laid in a grave. The disciples were scared to death. And now here's where we pick up their post crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We are in John 20, starting in verse 19. This is what the Bible says. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, say it with me, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were what? Overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, say it with me, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said what? Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And I look at that context and I think, what's going on through those disciples' minds? When we first catch them in this scene, what's happening in the disciples' minds? They're scared. They're absolutely frightful. What's going on? They're scared to death. They've seen their master, their teacher, just brutally murdered in front of everybody. And then suddenly, just like this picture depicts, Jesus is in the room. He comes through the wall, but he's suddenly among them behind closed locked doors. And look at their faces. Now look at the words used when Jesus was in the room and breathed, if you will. And it says that he breathed on them. Peace be with you. How many times does it say that? Twice. This says the disciples were what? Overjoyed. And Jesus gives them purpose. I am sending you. And then he uses these words like sins are forgiven. And so if you're a scared, frightened person thinking that you yourself could die, Jesus shows up in your midst. How do you feel now? Encouraged. Would Jesus' breath seem like a gracious, fresh breath of air? Yeah. Friends, I wonder how many of us need a gracious, fresh breath of air. I think we all do. And so as you and I consider what Paul is saying, and I'll go back to Philippians 4, that last verse, Paul says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be where? With your spirit. Paul is saying that when you and I have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ with our spirit, could it be that Paul's referencing what are we experiencing where? We're experiencing grace where? In our heart. And this is what it means to greet one another in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you call it when you get forgiveness of sin? Grace. Grace. What do you call it when you get the love of the Holy Spirit to indwell you, to love you and affirm that you're a believer in Christ? What do you call that? It's grace. And so I don't know how you and I can't show up in a church environment or a Christian environment and we can't find ourselves greeting each other. How? With grace. So here's a thought. If you don't give grace, it's likely you haven't what? Received it. Respond to grace by giving grace. So as Christians, isn't it wonderful? Think of the matchless, wonderful grace of Jesus. Forgiveness of how much of our sin? Oh, wow. All of it. So a thought that I have to run by you. If as a person, think about this. If as a person you dwell daily, even moment by moment, on the grace of Jesus Christ, how will you greet believer and non-believer alike? What do you think? You'll greet the same, but how will you greet them? With grace. With grace. And then finally, think about this concept as we move into our wrap-up time here. In what ways can you be more gracious? There are ways you can be more gracious. In what ways can you be more gracious as you interact with people based on the grace given you by God through Jesus Christ to forgive you of sin? I want to say that again. In what ways can you be more gracious as you interact with people based on the grace given you by God through Jesus Christ to forgive you of sin? I have a treat for the kids today, if I can find it real quick. I thought we'd read a book together. You kids want to read a book with me? Yeah! Okay, come on. Come up here, we'll read a book together. Sit down right here. Sit down right there. There you go. I know it. Come on. Hi, come on. Come on, Jackson. Come on. Don't forget our greeting. That was my person I was talking about. Anybody else want to join us? Okay. All right. Do you guys know anything about angels? You don't? You do something about angels? Yeah, I see that. Now, adults, you bear with me. The last line of the book is what we're going to surmise for the sermon today. We're just reading the book here to let our kids know we appreciate them. So I have to have you pay attention, adults, when we get to the last page. I've heard there are angels. Oh, can it be true? Are angels for real? And just what do they do? Do I have an angel that looks after me? Can I talk to angels? Can they hear and see? You know, it's occurred to me, I'm related to a lot of people up here. Will angels be glad if I do what is right? Yeah. Does God tuck them into their cloud beds at night? Cloud beds. That's kind of funny to think about. Do angels wear slippers or sandals or shoes? I know I'd go barefoot. If I got to choose, and I bet most of you would too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do angels have power? Are they very strong?
I'm strong.
You're strong. If I'm afraid, will they sing me a song?
No.
They might. Do angels have wings and can all of them fly? Do angels grow older and then do they die? Are there many angels or only a few?
No, few.
I think there's a few. Let's just find out. When I go to heaven, can I be one too? Are angels for real? There's no need to guess. The Bible assures us the answer is yes. So who made the angels? Well, God did that too. And God gives the angels their own jobs to do. When God has a message, he will often will use an angel to bring us the wonderful news. The angels serve God in their own special ways and then give to God all the glory and praise. You can't always see them, but this you should know, the angels are with you wherever you go. Do you think there's angels here? I think there is. Yet when you have something important to say, it's God, not the angels, to whom you should pray. So who do we pray to, God or angels?
God.
God, okay. Tell God that you're sorry for doing what's wrong, that all the angels will sing a glad song. Angels are spirits. They don't need to sleep. God never says, quiet, now, don't make a peep. And as far as what angels might wear for their clothes, they dress up in light from their head to their toes. Toes, that's funny. Their power is used to obey God's commands. They can even hold back the wind with their hands. Wow. Though angels are mighty and strong, you will find the angels are also quite gentle and kind. When you are afraid, here is what you can do. Imagine that angels are singing to you. What do you think they sing?
Happy birthday.
Hey, they sing Happy Birthday? That's a great song. Angels are speedy, and this is no lie. They move place to place in the blink of an eye. Now, here is another remarkable thing. All angels can fly, but they don't all need wings. There may be some angels with no wings, it's true, while some may have six and still others have two. Angels aren't born. They never grow old. They never get married, from what we are told. Angels don't die, though that seems rather odd, for they are already in heaven with God. Yeah. Just how many are there? What is the amount? Thousands and millions. Too many to count. Now, maybe you think it would be lots of fun to be a real angel when this life is done. We won't become angels, but that is okay. We'll all be together in heaven someday. Until that comes, here's a word of advice, and hope the adults are listening real nice. Treat everyone kindly and try to be nice. If you share God's love, as we're all meant to do, you just might be helping an angel out too. Fantastic. We're going to sing a song now that I think this group knows, and it's not just for kids, and there's more verses of this song than you realize. You guys want to stand with me down here and we'll sing together?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's all stand together. If you have a decision you want to make for Jesus, let's talk about it. Come down here, gang. And we'll sing together.